Would you recommend us to your friends, to your colleagues, to your family? It's a legitimate question, maybe not asked by the church, but definitely by many entrepreneurs. And we're going to ask it as we connect the dots. This is Father Voskin. I'm a priest of the Armenian Church, looking at life through one of the most ancient of all Christian fabrics, namely Armenian Orthodoxy. This is episode number 526 of The Next Step, and we're inviting you to take it with us right now.
Hi, this is Susie from In His Shoes Ministries. What you're about to listen to is an episode of The Next Step with Father Voskin. Here, Father Voskin provides a very distinctive and consistent voice for Armenian Orthodoxy, based on the solid principles of love, faith, and hope as expressed by our Lord Jesus Christ. We produce these shows every week for a vast audience, which includes those who are searching for practical and deeper applications of faith, to disenfranchise members of the church community, and of course the neophyte, those who are discovering truths in ancient orthodoxy. So we invite you to turn up the volume and get ready to take the next step.
It's not brain surgery, just do it. How many times have you heard that? It's not brain surgery, just go ahead and do it. You know, like if it's brain surgery, okay, that takes a lot of concentration, a lot of effort, a lot of education. But in this case, you know, you're going to move that paper from this area to that area. It's not brain surgery, just do it. What is that just do it moment for you? Where is that line, you know, between the brain surgery and moving that piece of paper? There's a whole assortment of different activities that take place, right? Can you cook tonight's dinner? Well, it's a lot of work. It's not brain surgery. Just do it, right? Can you take the trash out? Well, you know what? I've got my shoes off. I've got my pajamas on. I don't feel like... Can you just do it? It's not brain surgery. When is that moment? What is that moment? Well, brain surgery, I guess, is on the far end of it, right? It's on the way, way, way far end. That would be a task that takes a lot of effort, a lot of education, a lot of know-how. And along the way, between moving a paper from one side of the table to the other, there's a whole assortment of things that take different levels of activities. But you get the idea. At some point, you've got to make that point. That point. How about if they said, okay, go and take the person's appendix out? Well, it's not fair to say that, well, that's not brain surgery. You know, go ahead and do it. No, you can't. It requires a certain degree of expertise, knowledge, of experience. It requires a lot more than just moving a piece of paper from the one side to the other side. So I'm making the point that there's a whole hierarchy, right, of all different kinds of things, of taking one little step to taking many steps. There are several steps in between. And when it comes to physical life, spiritual life, that's just about the same, right? There are many steps in between. How about changing the oil in your car? Can you do it? Can you change the oil in your car? There's some people who could. I'll be honest with you. I used to be able to do it. I can't anymore. Cars were a lot more simple. Now you need computers to look into cars and to find the plugs and everything. It's just easier to go pay somebody $20, $25 and get it done. Right? And there's certain people that say, no, you know, they're purists. I'm going to change the oil in my car. Okay, that's fine. Is it brain surgery? No, it's not brain surgery, but somewhere along that big spectrum, along that big list of different things, it requires a bit of expertise, a bit of knowledge, a bit of education about working things and how to replace volumes and so on, okay? So it's not just like moving a piece of paper from one side of the desk to the other, and it's not brain surgery, changing the oil in your car. How about your eternal life? How important is that? How important is eternity? How important is your spiritual life? How important is your spiritual welfare? Where does that fall on that giant spectrum of events, of things that occupy your time, your energy? Is it something as simple as moving a piece of paper from one side of the desk to the other? Is it something as complex as brain surgery? Is it somewhere in the middle, or is it beyond each of these two sides? Eternity, spiritual life. Is it more important than changing the oil in your car? This whole thing began a couple days ago. I needed to change the oil on my car. Now, each car, each manufacturer has their own specification. I remember as a child, we were told, change your oil 3,000 to 5,000 miles, you won't have any problem. And we used to do that. You know, oil changes were so simple back then. You'd just go under the car, you'd undo this little screw, and everything would just fall out. It would just like drip out this old gunky oil. But now to find that little screw, it's a major problem. So you go someplace. Manufacturers tell you when you should do it. Actually, in my car, I've got a VW Jetta, and the screen in front of you lights up and it says, you've got 500 miles until your next oil change. You've got 100 miles. And then when you pass that, hey, you're overdue for an oil change. So it's obvious there's some computer working in there. Anyway, a couple days ago, I went into the local VW dealer and said, please change my oil. They said, okay, took my keys. Hour later, they let me know my car's ready. Went and I picked it up. I know you can all relate to something, right? If it's not your oil change, something else. You picked up clothes from a cleaner. You've gone and had something repaired. You've gone and ordered something, a cake. Picked it up, right? You know what I'm talking about, right? But what followed is what amazed me. What followed that oil change just amazed me to the point that I'm saying, why? Are we not doing this? Why aren't we doing this when it comes to eternal life, when it comes to spiritual life, spiritual satisfaction? Why aren't we doing what these companies are doing? And what was that? Self-evaluation. Consumer evaluation. You see, they asked me to take a survey. Yeah, immediately, after it was done, within like less than an hour, I received a text from the general manager saying, thank you. Was everything satisfactory with the oil change? It's a lousy oil change. He wanted me to say, was everything okay? I said, yeah, everything's fine. A few minutes later, I get a message from, let's see, who is this? Volkswagen of Pasadena. Yes, the general manager. Okay, so the first one was from, I guess, the representative. This is the second one that came to me. The general manager. Would you mind taking a survey? You know, we want to make sure everything is okay. Okay, remember what I said. Self-evaluation leads to consumer satisfaction. I want to evaluate myself. Am I doing a good job? Well, let me ask my consumers. Let me ask my customers. Wow! Wow! Does that take brain surgery to figure that out? Let me ask the customers. Are you getting something? You know where I'm going with this, right? I hope you know where I'm going with this. You're talking about a lousy oil change. And they're concerned. So I took the survey. I said, of course, I'd love to take the survey. And I've got to be honest with you. It was truly exceptional service. And I was even more impressed by this survey. And I've got to share it with you. Listen, please rate your satisfaction with the service appointment scheduling process. Just an oil change, right? I took it in the morning. I think it was 8 o'clock in the morning. I said, can I get an oil change today? Of course you can. They wrote it up. 1 hour later, I received it. So appointment scheduling process, it was literally done. I said, yes, it was truly exceptional. How long did it take to get your vehicle back when you wanted? I said, right on schedule, an hour later. I really wasn't expecting it even that quickly. We're close enough to this shop that I made it part of my walk. Took the car and then we walked back home. Got a little exercise too. So it wasn't anything that I was, it inconvenienced for me. So it was fine. Please rate the quality of the alternative transportation provided during your appointment. Now this one I said it was not required, but they offered that. They offered it. Can you believe that? Do you need a ride home? No, I'm going to walk. Okay. If you did, we have a little minivan over here and we'll give you a ride there. Wow. Remember what we're talking about. We're not talking about brain surgery. We're not talking about spirituality. We're not talking about eternal life. We're talking about changing the oil in your car. Did we do everything to your satisfaction? Not to our satisfaction, to your satisfaction. They're asking me. What, you changed the oil? No. And they're even prompting me. How about the other fluids in the car? Did we check those? You know, we care about your safety. You're going to be going out on the highway. You're going on a California highway. You're going in Los Angeles, metropolitan Los Angeles. You're going to be driving. Are you in a safe vehicle? Did we check all the other fluids? They want to know. Self-evaluation. Hey, I want to know, am I taking care of my customers? And I'm asking you. Wow. Can you imagine that? It's hard to believe, isn't it? It's just about changing the oil, right? Then they start asking questions about the facility. Is it easy to get in? Is it easy to get out? How difficult was it for you to stand in line to pay, to receive the product that you wanted? It was great. In and out, right? It's obvious they care. They're asking you the questions, right? Then there's some fun ones in there. How about the service representative? Okay, you know why I'm laughing on this one, right? Because if I make this connection now with the church in a few minutes, which we will, right? Then we've got to start asking, how about the service representative? That point of contact person, that person who took down your order. How about that person? How was it to interface with that person? Did he use a language that you couldn't understand? Did he talk to you on terms that you, as a layperson, non-mechanic, could understand? Wow. What about if we were to ask the same in the church, right? Could you understand what was being said? Was this a situation like Jesus when he talked about higher principles with simple metaphors, simple language, terms that we could understand to describe these very complex metaphysical concepts? The grain of wheat must fall into the earth and die for it to produce its harvest. You are the branches. My Father is the vine dresser, and I am the true vine. Wow. If the branches are connected to me, you bear fruit. Simple. Did the mechanic, did the serviceman explain it to you on terms that you could understand? We put the oil in. We checked the wiper fluid. Yes, you did it. But here's what's getting to me. They're concerned about this, and it is just a lousy oil change. How about when it comes to our spiritual life? Because at the end of the survey, we find out what this is all about. Why did they do this survey? Well, I think the answer comes out in the last question. They ask you all a sort of things like, while you were waiting, did they give you coffee? Was it a comfortable thing? Were you watching the news and all that? But at the end of it, it says, how likely is it that you would recommend our dealership to a friend or a colleague? Wow, bottom line, isn't that it? Can you imagine saying that in a church? How likely are you to bring a friend to church? How likely are you to recommend this church to your friend or colleague? We would never think of doing that. No. Instead, you have to bend to our rules. What did I learn from this survey? It's not just having a survey, because God bless them, we've seen so many surveys, but it's taking those surveys seriously. When people are taking the time to fill them out, it requires that we also take those surveys and process them. I have seen, and in fact, just recently, I saw a survey within the church. They're basically time sucks. They suck your time. Things that don't even matter, you know? Should women be on the altar? Yeah. Yeah, it's up to you. Should women serve at the altar? Yeah, yeah, okay. Yes, no. Come on, folks. Those aren't the questions we need to ask. Were you treated properly? Were you treated fairly? Was your question answered? Was that first point of contact respectful to you? Did they explain it to you in terms that you could understand? Can you imagine this type of survey? And what got to me was that this was, like I said, I repeat it over and over, it was a lousy, lousy oil change on that giant spectrum of different things. Moving a paper to brain surgery, where does it fall in? Where is that oil change? Yes, there's some expertise involved in it. There's some knowledge that is involved in it, but it's not brain surgery, and it's not the simple thing either. Now comes to your eternal life. Now comes to your spiritual life. Now comes to your spiritual comfort, understanding, being at peace with yourself, with God, and with humanity. How important is that? And we trusted to a church, the body of Jesus Christ. At what point do we start looking inward and saying, let us self-evaluate? And in that process of self-evaluation, let us ask our people. Let us ask the consumer, are you okay with what was given to you? Are we so scared that they might put unacceptable, unlikely? Are we so scared that they might rate us as average, below average? And if so, are we brave enough to listen to it to the point that we say we're ready to excel towards that perfection because it's demanded as Christ's church? This is the cover letter for the survey sent to me by the general manager. Thank you for choosing our dealership for your recent service visit. Your satisfaction is important to us, and we want to be sure we continue to earn your business. Can you imagine? Can you imagine a church saying that? Thank you for choosing us. Your satisfaction is important to us. We want to be sure to continue to earn your business. Okay, find a better word. I'm fine with the word business because it just means that you're organized and you're going there. But find a better word if you feel like it. We want to earn your trust. To help accomplish this, we will be grateful if you will click on the survey link to the right of this message and complete the customer satisfaction survey on your recent service visit. We understand your time is valuable, and it will only take a few moments to complete this survey. Now, that part, I can't imagine church saying that. We understand your time is valuable. Come and sit at a meeting, right? Your feedback will be reviewed immediately, and it will help us to ensure we exceed the expectations of our customers. Thank you for your time, your feedback, and most of all your business. Best regards, and he signs a general manager, and so on and so on. Okay, it's a 25 question survey, which really got to me. It got me thinking, why aren't we doing this? Why aren't we ready to really go to the extra step? If we're serious about our mission, if we're serious about what we're doing, we will do this because, not because of Christ demanding it, but it's a different way of thinking. And I'm going to get to that in the second portion of today's show. It has to do with, actually, the feast. It It's not a church feast that we celebrate, but here in America, we just celebrated the anniversary of this great country, the United States of America, one place that I feel is very, very special in that it has ideals. It may not be perfect, but it is in the process of trying to reach that perfection, and it does so by engaging in a dialogue. That's what that survey is about asking, about sharing opinions. And yes, I'm going to play a song right now called America the Beautiful. There's a beautiful rendition by Ray Charles, which I think we've all heard and love it. This one I want to do, this is by Keb Moe. A little bit more folksy, a little more bluesy. I like this one. I hope you will, too. America the Beautiful, the place where, yeah, you know, what's interesting is people, literally, we've seen that lately, people are dying to get into this country. You don't see people trying to leave it, people coming here, because as imperfect as it is, there's always the hope, there's the possibility, there's the work that is being done, there's the openness, the dialogue for expression. Hint, hint, shouldn't we be taking this now as an example? And that's why I said earlier, it's not about Christ demanding us that we go into this survey mode, self-evaluation. But it's something a little bit different. I'll give you a little to think about right now as we listen to Keb Moe doing America the Beautiful.
Shine and see.
kept Mo doing America the Beautiful. I told you, a little bit different, a little bit more folksy, bluesy. I love this rendition of it. I hope you liked it as well. There'll be a link on today's show notes so you could explore a little bit more of his music and especially this song as we dedicate it to this anniversary. Here it is, 2018. Let's see, let's do the math on that. Is that 242 years after independence? Not bad. Yeah, not perfect, but not bad either. At least it's asking the questions, and that's what we're doing today.
Sunshine came softly through my window today. Could have tripped out easy, but I've changed my way.
Well, we've been talking about evaluating the self, self-evaluation, self-critique to better serve your people. We know industry does this. We know businesses do this. You know, Yelp has gotten its entire businesses based on people critiquing other businesses. But every business, yes, internet is making it a lot easier because you don't need to write something and send it in. You could take a quick survey. And there's, in fact, companies that are just built around developing surveys. You buy something from Amazon, you'll get a few different questionnaires, people asking you, did you like the product? Take a few minutes to evaluate it, and so on and so on. You know how it goes. You know the routine. And more we're seeing this opportunity to evaluate, to talk about our experiences. Why? Basically, we want to improve. It's the means of improvement. Dialogue. And this is true in any democracy. This is true in any, look at the earliest writers. Look at what Plato, Aristotle, what these great philosophers were doing. They were critiquing. They were critiquing one another. They were critiquing in an open language, talking about what did you think about this space-time relationship? And how are we? Why are we here? This is something that can only lead to growth. But a lot of times we stifle that kind of talk. And that's why I was saying a little bit earlier that you'd be surprised where this is coming from, is this conversation. Because the church itself does have a system of self-evaluation. Not for the church, but for its constituency. I'm talking, of course, about Lent. Right? The period of Lent is exactly about self-evaluation. You bring it down to a bare minimum. You take a look at your life. What is the meaning of life? Where are we going? And so on and so on. And this is really a good practice in any of the major religions, whether they call it a period of Lent or a period of meditation, a period of self-withdrawal, of retreat. It's a time to really focus in on what's important in your life. And we do this well within the Orthodox Christian tradition. We have the Lenten period made for each of the, and I'm going to use the expression, the consumer, the constituent, the person who is coming and availing themselves of the broad spectrum of church services. But what about the church itself? Why aren't we turning the cameras back on ourselves? Why are we so scared of that self-evaluation of ourselves, of the church itself, the operations of the church, the people, the personalities? Because, look, what was it about the survey that I shared with you a few minutes ago, right? What was the bottom line on it? After 20 questions, the bottom line is, would you recommend our dealership to your friends, family, your colleagues? Isn't that what we care about? At the end of it, is this something that you want to recommend to a friend? Is your faith something that you want to recommend to a friend, to a colleague, to a family member? Isn't that the ultimate degree of satisfaction? If you're satisfied with it, you want to share it with other people as well. So why are we scared to do this? Well, what I want to suggest to you is not about being scared, about being courageous, or anything like that. Rather, it's just that that opportunity doesn't exist because we're not accustomed to it. We are here in the West. We are here in America because that's what we're built upon. I mean, think about that entire thing. What do we say? Yesterday was the anniversary of the Declaration of Independence. The 13 colonies declared its independence from England. And, you know, it starts off with, when in the course of human events, it becomes necessary for one people to dissolve the political bands which have connected them with another, and so on and so on. It talks about, okay, there's a reason why we are declaring our independence. And here it is. We're free to talk about it. And what's it come down to it? It comes down to this basic statement. Listen to this. This is from the Declaration of Independence. In fact, I will put a link on today's show notes. Please read the entire thing. It is beautiful. It is a beautiful piece of writing. I think it's a sacred piece of writing, too. It says, "We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among them, or among these, are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness." That's it. Life, liberty, the pursuit of happiness. If you're an old Superman guy, which I happen to be, if you watch Superman, and there's a reason why I'm bringing this up. The old George Reeves 1950s series began with this idea that he fights a never-ending battle for truth, justice, and then the third thing is, and the American way.
Superman, who can change the course of mighty rivers, bend steel in his bare hands, and who, disguised as Clark Kent, mild-mannered reporter for a great metropolitan newspaper, fights a never-ending battle for truth, justice, and the American way.
Yes, exactly. Perfect. Thank you, Ken. Yes. Oh, it's so good. I mean, you even feel like making the sign of the cross at the end of it to validate it and say, amen, truth, justice, and the American way. 1950s, this is McCarthy era, and we're talking about the American way. What is that American way? We're celebrating the anniversary of America here. What is that American way? What is that Declaration of Independence? Life, liberty, the pursuit of happiness. This triad of things. Where have you heard this? What does Jesus say? I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the way, the truth, and the life. Well, the life one figures out, right? The way, liberty, I will set you free, the way, right? The truth, the pursuit of happiness. What is that pursuit of happiness? I've come here to give you life, to give that life to you abundantly. Now, Christ had a criteria. He came here for a purpose. No, I'm not talking about prosperity gospel. I'm not trying to equate this with democracy as a better form of lifestyle. I'm trying to bring those elements that we can and we need today in the church to our church dialogue. Because the way we are seeing it right now, people are not recommending it to anybody. The bottom line of the survey, would you recommend this to your friends and colleagues? No, you wouldn't. I know it because we see the numbers. We see people walking away. And what I'm trying to share with you is here is an opportunity. Here is a model that we're seeing of self-evaluation. And it is not a foreign model. It is built into the church. In fact, it is Jesus himself who goes into a self-evaluation himself when he withdraws and he prays, and even in the Garden of Gethsemane. God, take this cup away from me. It's too heavy. It's difficult. But not my will, your will. What is that? It's that moment of self-evaluation. Thinking about what's this all about? And it's okay to engage in that dialogue. life, liberty, pursuit of happiness. On secular terms, we understand that. It's written into the Declaration of Independence. Jesus says, I came to give you life and give you it abundantly. I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. No one goes to the Father except through me. He gives us a solid foundation of how to live, extending ourselves to one another, loving, caring one for one another. And he says that here is the body, guided by the Holy Spirit. And he says, here's the direction I'm going to give you. You reach out to the poor. You reach out to the maimed, to the brokenhearted. You bring comfort. You bring solace. You bring God's kingdom here on earth. Now, wouldn't it make sense that if we are the Church of Christ, every so often, I'm not saying every single second, but every so often at the very least, we turn within and we ask, are we being faithful? Have that evaluation, have that survey. Are we really doing the work of Christ? Christ asked us to tend to the needy, to the poor, to the brokenhearted, to the thirsty, to the naked, to clothe them, to visit the sick, those suffering in prison. Are we doing that as a church? And if we are not, that's the point at which you adjust things. Just as the survey asked me, how was that waiting room waiting for your car? Was there adequate coffee? If I said there wasn't enough coffee in there, what do you think they would do? You better believe it. The next day, they would make sure that someone's there to check the coffee level. If I said that that person who helped me, who assisted me, that front line, didn't know much about cars, I was teaching him, what do you think they would do? Okay, I'm not going to go to the level that they would fire him based on one, but it would be 1, 2, 3. How many of those surveys that filled out and said that person was inept, was not the person for that job? How many of these surveys before they would stop and say, okay, let's go and evaluate that person? And all I'm saying is we need to do that same care within our church. For instance, why are we not helping the poor? Well, it's not as basic as we don't care for the poor. Part of it also has to do with the other side of government or the other side of civil law in this case, of American society. Go ahead, I'll say it, since we're talking about in terms of the American anniversary we celebrated, the United States of America, right? Part of it has to do with money. You look at all that Jesus asks us to do, and the church imposes a dues on people, imposes a way of receiving funds to do those things, but we are reluctant. We don't pay into that. A government can force the payment of those, namely through taxes. So all of a sudden, you've got government growing and saying, we will tend to the social needs of the people. We will have a home for the orphans. We will have shelter for the homeless. We will provide medical assistance to the indigent. Things that all along the church was supposed to do and used to do, but now unable to do it. Why? Because, well, there's no financial resources to fall back on. Meanwhile, the government has the financial sources because it's taxing the people in a forced tax. And with the freedom that we have, we cannot force that tax. And that's why if you're going to take the freedom, you have to take the other side of it to be able to ask the question, the serious and hard question of let's evaluate what we're doing. How are we getting to our goals, to our intentions, to what Christ has demanded of us? And so we go back to the early portion of today's show when I asked you a very simple question. How important is your spiritual life? Where is it on that continuum? Where do you put it? Is it as simple a thing as moving a piece of paper? Is it as complex a thing as brain surgery? Is it somewhere in the middle or somewhere on the extremes? Maybe not even on that continuum. but it requires a look. And for us to ask that question, is it more important than an oil change? That's what it comes down to, right? We got this huge survey for an oil change. Are we willing to do the same for our church? For the way that our church is running, or the way our church can run and should run, that self-evaluation process. Now I'm going to leave you with a thought. Because in our Monday night Bible studies, we've been exploring the idea of community and submission within that community. What I shared last week is that, interestingly enough, in our community, in the church community, especially when St. Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 talks about the different members having different qualities, different talents, and the hand doesn't say that I'm not a foot, therefore I cannot work, but the hand does what the hand does. I want you to challenge yourself to look around you in your church community and really ask those questions about what are we doing to promote the kingdom of God? What are we doing towards the ultimate ends for which the church was initially established? And then maybe take a little bit more personal approach and ask the big questions. Am I satisfied with it? Am I being treated properly? Am I being respected as a community member? Am I just being told what to do? Are my opinions important? What we see is that there's an opportunity for reflection, and that reflection has to lead for an opportunity to growth and betterment of that community. And so I want to leave you with a couple people. One is with St. Peter and St. Paul. Interesting, because these two are celebrated together. Their names appear together, St. Peter and Paul, on the church calendar. Many churches are consecrated in their name as St. Peter and St. Paul Church. But here's something that maybe you haven't reflected upon. They didn't know each other during the time of Christ. Of course, Paul was somebody who was a persecutor of Christian. And so Paul was a persecutor of St. Peter. St. Peter was the persecuted. They both served the church. Different people coming from different angles, different perspectives. But when it came to serving the church, that's what the power of the church is, taking these differences, taking these different people that could even be at two different sides of the aisle. Even worse, one could be a persecutor, the other could be the persecuted, and yet the church polishes them up so that they work together for the common commission, for the common reason why the church is there. I want you to think about that, okay? I'm going to leave it there because I gave you some things to think about within your own church community. I would love to hear from you, some of your comments. If you feel like it, drop me a line. I'd love to hear your comments. It was a really big eye-opener, I have to tell you this week, when I received this survey. I've filled out many, many surveys. But this time, I don't know why it hit me. I guess maybe because it was just a simple oil change. And they cared so much about it. And I said, we have God's kingdom in our hand. We have the Holy Church of Jesus Christ commissioned, given to the apostles, the inheritors of that apostolic tradition. We have that. Are we taking the time to make sure that the customer satisfaction is there? That those people who are part and parcel of that body are feeling that they are truly members of his body. Let's leave it there. I'll be back in a few moments after Susie makes this announcement.
Susie here again. Before continuing with today's broadcast, I'd like to take this opportunity to remind you that this podcast is made possible through your prayers and generous donations. Since 2008, we have been providing quality programming through podcasts, educational videos, and streams, using technology's most current resources. The message of Armenian Orthodoxy is giving people an intelligent and practical answer to many of life's difficulties, including the challenge to bring peace to a hurting world. To become part of this dynamic ministry, please take a moment now to visit inhisshoes.org website and press on the donate button. Your encouragement goes a long way. Please accept our heartfelt appreciation. Thanks for listening and God bless. We now return to this week's Next Step with Father Vazgen.
Well, thank you, Susie, and thank you to all of you for all of your letters, your support. They go a long way, especially, most important, those prayers. I want to invite you to a few special events that are happening. I'm going to be at the St. Sarkis Armenian Church in Santa Clarita for the next two Sundays. This Sunday happens to be the Feast of Transfiguration. Looking forward to it, and I understand that they do a water celebration in reference to Vartavar. And I won't take any cheap shots at the paganness of that holiday, but I will say that California is in a drought situation, so please, please exercise some judgment when you go after the priest in any kind of water sports. Anyway, I want to invite you. That's out in Santa Clarita. That's in Southern California. If you happen to be out that way, I would love to see you. We're going to be at the St. Sarkis Armenian Church for Divine Liturgy and the celebration of the Transfiguration of our Lord. Next Thursday, the 12th, we're going to be at Ascensia at our regular feed for the homeless. But before that, we're going to be doing a one-day pilgrimage, starting off in the morning, going out to St. Garabed Armenian Church in the desert. Love to have you with us, but you do need to act quickly. There'll be a link on today's show notes. You can check it out and make your plans accordingly. Well, that being said, I think we're ready to wrap it up. I want to thank you for joining us today. Do check us out at all the usual spots, whether it's on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, on Instagram, you know where to look, especially on the mothership, inhisshoes.org. On behalf of the wonderful staff who put today's show together, Susie, who is remotely producing from San Francisco, California, and Ken, who is remotely engineering, this is Father Vazgen, inviting you to join us again next week when we will take the next step.
And now here's the fine print. The information and comments presented within this podcast and our website do not necessarily represent the views of the Armenian Church hierarchy, but are presented as a challenge to define the dynamics of Armenian Orthodoxy in all aspects of life. Listening to these shows is habit-forming. Addictive behavior associated with the Next Step is rarely, if ever, remedied. Rather, the Next Step is known to relieve and cure common cases of narrow-mindedness, prejudice, numbskullness, and glaucoma in patients over the age of 20. Results may vary depending on credit rating. Findings are based on double-blind studies conducted in Istanbul and Jerusalem. Side effects include mind expansion, clarity of focus, higher rates of heart palpitations, sensitivity to the pain of others, and occasional nausea. The management and production crew of vpostle.net take full responsibility for changes you will experience. Not valid with any other offer.
Off Balan Top Limit.